أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، الرحمة المهداة، والنعمة المزداة، والسراج المنير. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين. أما بعد، brothers and sisters، لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله is a testimony of faith. It is the decisive criterion by which man is judged to be a Muslim or a kafir. This testimony is the foundation upon which Islam is based. The concept of life, the universe, and man is diffused from it. And upon it is based the message of all messengers from Prophet Noah, ending by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, "We did not send the messengers before you without revealing to them that there is no God worthy of being worshipped except I. Therefore, worship me." Allah has created men and jinn and the rest of creations on account of the testimony of faith. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. Consequently, everything in this universe submits to worship of Allah, to whom belongs the creation and the authority. He is aware of all things. But what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? What is the meaning of the testimony of faith? La ilaha illallah consists two concepts: a concept of denial and a concept of affirmation. Firstly, the testimony of faith denies everyone and everything other than Allah the attributes of divinity. All those other than Allah, such as angels, prophets, the rest of mankind, let alone the idols and the political regimes in the world, are not gods, nor do they deserve to be worshipped. Thus, denial in this respect is not denial of the existence of the alleged gods, rather the denial of divinity which is attributed to them. The second part of the testimony affirms and restricts divinity to Allah alone. That is, the slave must believe Allah is the only true God and dedicate accordingly no act of worship to anything other than Allah. Since worship with all its legitimate acts and rites must be dedicated only to God who deserves it, therefore the true God to whom worship must be dedicated is the one who enjoys certain attributes. So we need to know, what are the attributes of a God? Why do we worship this God? The attributes are: one, divinity. The oneness of Allah, who is singled out as the only true God, having no partner to share his divine attributes nor his domain. Two, self-sufficiency. Allah stands in need of no one. He needs neither a helper, nor a spouse, or a son. Three, the capability of doing everything. There's nothing which frustrates his capability. He does anything he wishes without exhaustion or support. If he wills to do anything, he will only say to it, "Be," and it is. Kun fayakun. Four, the absolute life which is unaffected by perishment. Allah is everlasting, and he is Al-Qayyum. Five, alertness. Allah never sleeps, nor is he heedless. He is neither seized by slumber or sleep. Six, inclusive proprietorship. All existing things belong to Allah alone. 7. Knowledge. Allah's knowledge encompasses the whole universe, that even an ant weight does not escape His knowledge. He is well aware of the hidden and the apparent, the past and the present, the future, and He knows the inner thoughts of man. 8. Pride and grandeur. There is nothing greater than Allah, neither in His essence or in His grandeur, nor in His supremacy. 9. Merciful beneficence. Allah does not wrong a thing or punish unjustly. Rather, He loves His devotees and forgives the sins of those who repent to Him. So, anyone who possesses these divine attributes is worthy of worship. And there is only one creature, one thing in the universe who possesses these attributes, and this is Allah. It is for this reason that the testimony of faith constitutes denial of divinity to all other than Allah and confirming it to Allah alone, for He is the only true God. In the Quran, God tells us in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, He is Allah, the one and the only. Allahu Samad, Allah the Eternal, the Absolute. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He begetteth, nor is He begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is none like unto Him. So this is the God that is worthy of being worshipped. Allah is far removed from every imperfection, exclusively enjoys the attributes of divinity. This divinity entails the right of legislating laws. Allah is the one who legislates laws for His creatures. Therefore, no one may legislate laws for himself or for others that do not conform with those of Allah or those given by His messenger, nor may anyone design a mode of worship or a transaction regulation for individuals or groups. Neither is it the right of anyone to deem things lawful or unlawful on his own accord. Nor is it the right of anyone to legislate the penal law on his own accord, for such rights are exclusively Allah's rights. Whoever gives himself such rights presumptuously sets up himself as God. Whoever obeys him takes him for a God in lieu of Allah. And this is how serious the matter is. Allah has mentioned to us that Christians have taken their scholars and monks as lords other than Allah, only by obeying their lords and prohibiting Allah's lawful things, and legalized His prohibited things without divine sanctions. They did so after knowing that Allah is a true God, to whom worship must be dedicated, and after knowing that Allah accepts only those acts of worship legislated by Him and by His messenger. Hence, we must know the acts of worship so that we dedicate them to Allah alone. Once we know this, we know that He has created the creatures only to worship Him. Man, as part of his creatures, must dedicate all his life worshipping Allah. He must be aware of Allah's rulings, respecting everything he does, thus every lawful thing he does, intending it to be a means of bringing him closer to Allah, turns to be an act of worship. Worship is an inclusive term comprising every utterance and deed, apparent or hidden, that Allah loves. So, what are the requirements of this shahada, of this testimony, that are incumbent upon the person who confesses it to apply? So if you take the shahada and you utter it, what should you be doing? These requirements are: 1. They believe that Allah is a true God to whom worship must be dedicated. He is the one who possesses all attributes of perfection and who is far removed from every imperfection, such as taking a spouse or a son. Two, they believe that Allah is the creator of all existing things, but not only the creator, but He is also the sustainer and the giver of life and death, the proprietor of the universe, the only ruler and legislator. So if you accept the Shahada, you accept that the only ruler and legislator is Allah. Number three, they believe that Allah possesses the attributes of perfection and is far removed from every imperfection. As Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the Quran and the Sunnah, the only two sources from which we know the attributes of Allah. So we cannot accept any other attributes from any other human being. If you want to know the attributes, the only two sources are the Quran and the Sunnah. The fourth is taking the believers for friends, loving and supporting them. Allah says in the Quran, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are harsh against unbelievers and merciful amongst themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and His good pleasure. On their faces are marks caused by prostration. This is their similitude in the Torah and in the Gospel, like a sown seed which sends forth its shoot, then makes it strong. It then becomes thick and it stands straight on its stem, delighting the farmers that He, Allah, may enrage the unbelievers with them. Allah has promised those among them who believe and do righteous good deeds, forgiveness and a mighty reward. That is paradise. And finally, point number five, disavowing the unbelievers and standing aloof from them. Allah says in the Quran, indeed, there has been an excellent example for you in Ibrahim and those with him, when they said to their people, verily, we are free from you and whatever you worship besides Allah. We have rejected you, and there has started between us and you hostility and hatred forever, until you believe in Allah alone. Except the saying of Ibrahim to his father, verily, I will ask for forgiveness from Allah for you, but I have no power to do anything for you before Allah. Our Lord, in you alone we put our trust, and to you alone we turn in repentance, and to you alone is our final return. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون ويستجيب الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ويزيدهم من فضله والكافرون لهم عذاب شديد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله وإمام الأنبياء وسيد المصلحين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين. Amma ba'd. So in the first part of the khutbah, we discussed the requirements of the shahada, the testimony of La ilaha illallah. Brothers, can you move forwards a bit, please, to make space for the latecomers? And to sum up, these requirements are five. One, they believe that Allah is the true God. Two, they believe that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, and the giver of life and death, only ruler and legislator. Three, they believe that Allah possesses the attributes of perfection. And four, taking the believers as friends and supporting them. And five, disowning the unbelievers. This shahada, this testimony, is considered a prelude and access to Islam rather than its base. Confessing the testimony, the shahada, must be coupled with fulfilling its conditions. So it's not enough to say the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You must also fulfill the conditions of the shahada to become a Muslim. And you must understand what are these. So the conditions of the shahada are: one, knowledge, which consists of recognizing Allah as the only true God to whom worship must be dedicated, and denouncing all God's worships besides all as false, and that they can neither extend benefit nor cause harm. Two, certainty. Certainty that the belief in Allah must be unblemished with any doubts. Three, acceptance, that is to accept all its conditions. Four, submission, that is to fulfill its conditions submissively and willingly, being content with Allah as the Rabb, as the God, and by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Allah's messenger and prophet. Five, truthfulness, that is to fulfill its requirements truthfully. Six, sincerity, that is to be sincere in worshipping Allah, dedicating all acts of worship to Him alone. And seven, the love of Allah and the love of His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of Allah's devotees and people of His obedience. These are the conditions of the shahada. Finally, it should be borne in mind that Allah must be obeyed by following His commands and refraining from His prohibitions. Obedience to Allah must be associated with loving Him, fearing His punishment, and hoping for His reward, seeking His forgiveness, and adhering to the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and acknowledging that Prophet Muhammad is the last of Allah's messengers, and adhering to the Sharia. اللهم إنا نشهد أنه لا إله إلا أنت اللهم أحينا على لا إله إلا الله وأمتنا عليها وبعثنا عليها اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وبعثنا مع الأبرار اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم ساعدهم اللهم فك أسرهم يا رب العالمين ربنا اغفر لإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروا يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر